Hello again and welcome to Studies in the Gospels, a program heard each week here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, your host for this program, where each week we examine the life of Christ as found in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Today we begin a new section of our study as we look at the events surrounding the Roman trial of Jesus. Last week, we completed those looks of things concerning the Jewish trial. And today, we look as Jesus appears before Pilate. Now, all four of the gospel writers record this event. Matthew, in chapter 27, verses 11 through 13. Mark, in chapter 15, verses 2 through 14. Luke, in chapter 23, verses 24 and 25, and John in chapter 18, verses 28 to 40. Now, primarily for our purposes today, we'll consider Mark's account in chapter 15, beginning in verse 2. So let's begin there. Then Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered and said to him, "It is as you say." And the chief priest accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Then Pilate asked him again, saying, "Do you answer nothing? See how many things they testify against you." But Jesus still answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at the feast, he was accustomed to releasing one prisoner to them, whomever they requested. And there was one named Barabbas, who was chained with his fellow rebels. They had committed murder in the rebellion. Then the multitude, crying aloud, began to ask him to do just as he had always done for them. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priest had handed him over because of envy. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd so that he should rather release Barabbas to them. Pilate answered and said to them again, "What then do you want me to do with him whom you call the king of the Jews?" So they cried out again, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said to them, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus, after he had scourged him, to be crucified. Now we go back to verse 2. Then Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered and said to him, "It is as you say." So our text begins as Pilate questions Jesus. The Jews would not enter the judgment hall of Pilate because it defiled them, and they would be unable to participate in the religious festivals. It is quite ironic that they would not go in the building, but were happy to condemn an innocent man to death. They wanted Pilate to execute Jesus without giving Pilate the details of his alleged crimes. And so Pilate was obviously puzzled by all of this. Notice from John's account in chapter 18 and verse 31. Then Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." They also replied that Jesus was perverting the nation according to Luke's account in chapter 23, verses 1 and 2. Then the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation, and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king." Now in our text, in verse 3, "And the chief priest accused him of many things, but he answered nothing." Pilate was amazed that Jesus did not reply to the charges. Verse 4 says, "Then Pilate asked him again, saying, 'Do you answer nothing? See how many things they testify against you?' But Jesus still answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled." Pilate was convinced that Jesus had committed no crime, and Pilate believed that he could avoid responsibility for Jesus by sending him to Herod. Notice again in Luke 23 now, verses 5 through 7. "But they were the more fierce, saying, 'He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place.' When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at the time." Now, Mark's account does not discuss his appearance before Herod. Let's consider what Luke has to say about that in chapter 23, beginning in verse 8. "Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered nothing. And the chief priest and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. Then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. That very day, Pilate and Herod became friends with each other, for previously they had been at enmity with each other. So we find that Herod was pleased to see Jesus, because he had long wanted to see this miracle man." It says that they treated him with contempt and mocked him. And this was certainly a fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah. Notice Isaiah 53 in verse 3. "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him." Now let's go back to our text and pick up again with verse 6. "Now at the feast, he was accustomed to releasing one prisoner to them, whomever they requested. And there was one named Barabbas, who was chained with his fellow rebels. They had committed murder in the rebellion. Then the multitude, crying aloud, began to ask him to do just as he had always done for them. But Pilate answered them, saying, 'Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?' For he knew that the chief priest had handed him over because of envy." Pilate wanted to release Jesus, but in doing so, he had to satisfy the Jews. Now let's go back to Luke's account in chapter 23. And now let's pick up in verse 13. Then Pilate, when he had called together the chief priest, the rulers, and the people, said to them, "You have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people. And indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him. No, neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him. And indeed, nothing deserving of death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him." Now let's note what Brother Burton Kaufman wrote here. He said there was nothing mild about the horrible Roman flagellation. In this brutal suggestion, the moral crevices in the character of Pilate were plainly visible. This proposal to subject a man he had just declared to be innocent to the shocking and bloody chastisement practiced in those days showed plainly enough that Pilate actually had no moral scruples against crucifixion. And that proposal was probably the first indication to the Jewish leaders that they would be able to have their way with Pilate in regard to Christ. Consider that Barabbas was so evil that Pilate just simply assumed that they would not want to release him back among them and that they would choose Jesus to be released. Verse 10 said, "For he knew that the chief priest had handed him over because of envy," referring to Christ. Pilate knew that the real motive was envy, and Pilate was smart enough to figure this out, that they loved their preeminence and that they would have been greatly disturbed by Jesus in his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Verse 11. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd so that he should rather release Barabbas to them. Pilate answered and said to them again, "What then do you want me to do with him whom you call the King of the Jews?" Now it is not revealed to us exactly how the priest worked up the crowd to cry for Barabbas to be released instead of Jesus. But Brother Winton in his commentary noted that they likely circulated through the crowd, arguing and cajoling them to do so. Perhaps some of them were strategically placed among the people to raise a chant which the multitude joined. When one person laughs, others are moved to laugh with them, even if they see nothing funny. Rabble-rousers are able to manipulate a crowd to do their will. Consider the popular so-called Pentecostal perverters of today and their ability to work an audience. Think of one like Benny Hinn and other so-called miracle workers of today who can work up an audience into a frenzy. The question for Pilate is the question that every man is still forced to answer to even today. What will I do about Jesus? We see the crowd's answer in verse 13. So they cried out again, "Crucify him." And as is often the case, the mob mentality rules. In verse 14, then Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, "Crucify him." Pilate now pleads a second time to the Jewish mob for the release of Jesus. But the mob, however, only grows further out of control. Notice what the people said in Matthew 27 and verse 25. And all the people answered and said, His blood be on us and on our children. A bit lengthy here, but consider what Guy N. Woods had to say about this. The extreme malignancy and spiteful hate which characterize the Jews in their deliberate and calculated efforts to destroy Jesus are without parallel in human history. And the retribution which they brought upon themselves is unequaled in all the annals of mankind. All who participated in that historic miscarriage of justice have felt the retribution reserved for the most wicked of the earth. The infamous Judas died in shame, a suicide. Pilate, whose political fortunes he valued more than justice, stood helplessly by as his prestige fell, ultimately dying in banishment and disgrace. Caiaphas was expelled from the high priesthood. Herod perished in shame and exile. The house of Annas suffered destruction at the hands of a mob, and his own son was dragged through the streets of the city. The siege of Jerusalem, with its unspeakable horrors, became the tragic lot of the race itself, as tens of thousands of Jewish people suffered and died. Direct descendants of those who had derisively cried, Let his blood be upon us and our children. Renan, the French infidel, said of them, It seems as the whole race had been appointed a rendezvous for extermination. If ever a rebellious people deserved this fate, they did. And yet the blood which they shed in the limitless and unfathomable depths of God's mercy was poured out for them. And among the last words their victim uttered on the cross was a plea for mercy in their behalf. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Love at last had conquered, and the Lord in triumph achieved his purpose in coming to the earth. And finally in verse 15, So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified. So Pilate then demonstrated that he was much more concerned about himself than justice for Jesus. This should effectively end any sympathy that one might have been tempted to have for Pilate. Yet, the modern-day Pilate is alive and well in the form of those who say we are against various sins like homosexuality, alcohol, drugs, abortions, and the like, and then do nothing to work against it, and even often vote for those who promote these sins. It is interesting for us to note that those Jews that claim to want to do right by Caesar desired the release of Barabbas, who had committed high crimes against Caesar and Rome, and asked for the death of one who did nothing against Caesar and, in fact, promoted good citizenship. This saddest episode in the history of the world was getting worse. and it was only going to continue downhill to man's most despicable low. Jesus would soon be on the cross and would still say after all of this, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I want to thank you for joining me today. If the Lord wills and we're together next week, we will continue to consider the events surrounding the Roman trial of Jesus. I hope you'll join me. Remember that our program will be replayed this evening at 11 p.m. Central Standard Time, and it'll be posted in the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. So until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long, have a great day, and may the Lord bless you.